You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
First of all, my children and I had a bet whether I could actually fall asleep on the platform, and I bet I could. I'm an impressive sleeper. But there's a story. It's kind of awkward. Welcome to my bedroom. There's a story about this guy who's a farmer. He runs a farm, and it was on the Atlantic coast. And this farm, you know, being on the coast, was known for storms that would just kind of whip in. The nor'easters would just come in and swamp the farm, you know, mess up the crops, the animals, all that kind of stuff. And so he was looking to hire a farmhand, and he looked to find someone, and you know, put out applications and brought in different people, and couldn't really find, you know, what he was looking for. And finally, this one guy came up to him. He was kind of like at the end of his rope. He didn't have anybody left. He's like, "What, you know, are you any good as a farmhand?" And the guy says, "Look, I can sleep when the winds blow." And the farmer was like, "Okay, well, I'm kind of out of options, and so you'll do." And so, you know, life goes on. This farmhand works at the farm and does his thing. And then one night in the middle of the night, the farmer wakes up and realizes that a storm is coming in, that a storm is blowing in. And immediately he goes over and realizes that the farmhand is asleep in his room. And he goes over and starts banging on the door and opens the door and it's like, "Get up, there's a storm coming. You need to tie down the hay bales. Yeah. Tie down and put the chickens in the coop, latch everything up. There's a storm coming and we need to fix this. Come on. And the farmhand just looks at him and says, "Look, I told you, I can sleep when the winds blow." And he rolls over and goes back to sleep. And the farmer is furious. He wants to fire him on the spot, but doesn't have time because he needs to run out there and fix things in his farm. And as he rushes out the door, he goes over to the hay bales, and they're already strapped down. And he goes over to the chicken coops, and the chickens are all in there, and it's locked up. And he looks around and realizes that everything was already handled. Everything was already done. And so he went inside and was able to sleep when the wind blew. And this is an interesting story. Now, as we talk about it this morning, it's not because of what we can accomplish. But there is a reality in all of us that we can sleep when the winds blow. And I haven't even started teaching yet. This series was planned, I don't know, April, something like that. God is like, "You know what? I know it's April, but today on August, what is it, the 3rd, I want you to teach about peace." Because we're doing this series called Fruit, and we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And the last month of July, the elders did a great job filling in for me, teaching on a number of the different fruit they covered. Well, the first week I covered goodness and kindness, and then Kirk covered self-control, and then the next week was Scott with patience. And then Justin talked about love 2 weeks ago. And last week was our fifth Sunday picnic. And we're going to continue this week. And first of all, I just want to say one thing about the elders' teaching. I applaud them, not just for their ability, their willingness to do this, but I want you to know that these guys intentionally chose the topics that were the hardest for them. And I'm not saying that all of us don't struggle with all these things, because we do. But it was so incredible that they didn't pick the easy ones. They intentionally picked, you know what? Patience, that's something I'm not so good at. I want to teach that. And self-control. And I just that's awesome. I want you to know that that was incredible that they did that. And so we're here at this fruit, and we're not going in order, but we're looking at this fruit called peace. And in peace, as Kirk prayed, that's exactly right. Peace to us is this idea of, okay, the storm is over, and so now I have peace. The war is done, so now I have peace. But true peace, true fruit of the Spirit peace, is peace in the war. It is peace in the storm. It is a willingness and ability to sleep when the winds blow, not as a naive ignoring the situation, but knowing that there is something that has the storm. There is someone that has everything in control. Everything is already tied down, not because we do it, and we'll get to that in a moment, but because God has. Because Jesus has tied everything down. Jesus has put the chickens in the pen. Jesus is the one that has covered the whole thing so that we can sleep during the storm. Not again, not with our head in the sand, but knowing God's got this. And so we're looking at this fruit called peace. And I'm going to look at just some interesting things that I discovered here. And I know even talking with these guys as they were preparing to teach, and even the first week as I was teaching back in July, it's a challenge to teach a word. Like that, there's a lot in a word. A word has a whole lot more. You think, oh, it's just one word, but that's probably the harder thing. And so I want to hone in on a specific area of peace. And here's the point that I want you to get today. It's when the fruit of peace is produced, it calms in conflict. When the fruit of peace is produced, it calms in conflict. And why don't we hit the house lights here? First of all, I want to thank my Ignition stage crew here for helping me get set up. Obviously, the Ignition kids are in here. They're going to be with us all month. And I'm going to do my best to keep you guys interested and engaged. But you know what? If you don't stay engaged, Mom, Dad, you don't need to be like, come on, pay attention. This is the Lord's house. You better listen. Like, I would rather just say, you know, we'll suck it up for a month so that our workers have a break. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay if, it's not full attention. I mean, it's not a bad thing if you want to, I'm just saying. The second thing I want to tell you, by the way, in that fruit and fun with Scott and Sean, that was a whole lemon, including the rind, that was dipped in chocolate. So it was, I guess I should say, it was a half of a lemon. He had one half, I had the other half, but it had the full rind. The colors kind of screwed up on the screen there. So it was pretty wretched. And I guess Scott had, prepared for it. I don't know. He seemed, he knew it was coming anyway. But anyway, back to this. When the fruit of peace is here. So we've got the kids in Ignition here. So I want to keep it a little bit interesting. Now, the word peace, depending on where you're from, what era you're from, it has some different connotations. And we're going to totally rock what all that is today, looking at what Jesus says peace is. But if you were from the 60s or 70s or know of that era, it'd be like, peace. So I want all of you with me to say, peace. One, two, three. Peace. This is the peace symbol. I don't know why or what. If it's something inappropriate, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is these days. Peace. And then, depending on where you go, like where I grew up, we would be like, peace, peace. Can you do that? It's kind of like that. So on three, you need to do that. Ready? One, two, three. Peace. I can feel that. So definitely peace is way better than peace. So here's what's going to happen. Just so you're, just to keep you guys involved a little bit. When I read a Bible verse. So that means there's going to be a Bible passage written in the corner of Galatians or John or something like that. And I say the word peace. You all need to join me in choosing your preferred style. If you want to go peace, or if you want to be like peace. That's up to you, but you have to say the word peace when I read it on the screen in the Bible. So understand, only when it's on the Bible, because I'll be saying peace a lot, and if you keep doing that, it's going to be a really long day, okay? But only when I read it on the Bible, so just so you're aware, when that comes up, that's what we're going to do. So, with that, this comes from a passage that, you're going to be so tired of by the end of this month, the end of this series, that's okay, and if you're really not tired of the songs yet, oh, you will be. I got the PSP. Okay. So in Galatians chapter 5, this is what Paul writes to the church he planted in Galatia. And I'm not going to go any further into this. We spent the first week talking about it. I started listening to Kirk, and then my battery died on my headphones. But these guys have already talked about this. So let's just read it. I'll read it, and then when you get to a key spot, do your thing. Okay, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. Okay, so, all right. Come on, I know there's hippies in the room here. I know you're here. I'm not going to look your way, but I know that you're here. So anyway, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And so there's nine of them, and I covered two the first week, and we'll be wrapping up the other, the final three these next 3 weeks. But looking at all of these words that are fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but the fact is, the key thing is that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. And again, at the beginning, as I heard Kirk talking about his point, he was talking about that idea. And it's very important when it comes to this idea of peace. I think it's true for all of these, definitely. But we have a very different perspective on what peace is. And when we understand that peace is produced by the Holy Spirit of God, that He produces this in us, it totally is a game changer. It changes everything. So rather than just teach on this one word, which the Greek word here is irene, E-I-R-E-N-E, it's a word that means peace. It means calm, tranquility, just rest. Things are good. It's actually the Greek translation of the Hebrew word shalom. And if you know anybody that perhaps is Hebrew or Jewish or anything like that, shalom is a very common phrase even to this day. And shalom is this idea of just things are good. Everything's okay. It actually has this idea of wholeness, of completeness. There is shalom. I am peace. There is Irene. I don't know how you pronounce it. But that idea of peace. And so there's this passage in John where Jesus talks about peace. He talks about this Irene, this shalom. And that's what I want to look at this morning and really break down, coming from, breaking off of Galatians there into this concept of peace in John 14:27. So why don't we bring that up on the screen. Now, as you see, it's going to start with a certain key word here, and you're going to hear this key word maybe a couple times. So if necessary, join along. So John 14 says, peace. Sorry, I spelled it that way. I saw you over there. I saw you. I saw the hippie. Okay, peace I leave with you, my
peace
I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And the Greek word here is the same word. This peace, this irene, this shalom. Jesus is speaking to his followers. And the wild thing about this is that in the context of John 14, in what's going on in this story here, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they're finally starting to get it, that Jesus is going to die, that he's going to leave, he's going to be gone. And it took them forever to get it. Like, we talk about, we don't understand things. Like, his disciples were there with him. He said it over and over and over. And slowly they're like, wait a second. So when you say you're going to die, that means you're going to be leaving? When you say you're going to be going to the Father, that means you're not going to be present here? And so they're starting to get it in this passage in John 14. And then Jesus, as they're getting a little nervous, he says, look, don't worry. It's okay, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, will be with you. He will be in you. And Jesus uses this phrase, calling him the Comforter. He is the one that's going to come. So even though I'm leaving, don't worry, you're not going to be alone. And actually, the Holy Spirit is going to come and not just be with you, but be in you. And so he's sharing this with them about this idea of the Holy Spirit coming. And if you want to know more about that, we did a series called Three, a little over a year ago, looking at the three parts, the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So understanding how those things work. So Jesus is continuing this idea, telling them about the Holy Spirit that's coming. And he says, look, peace, he says, peace I leave with you, catch it out first. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He says, look, don't worry. I'm leaving. The Holy Spirit is coming, and he is going to give you peace. He is going to give you peace, and it's not going to be like everybody else gives you peace. It's going to be a unique peace, and we'll see that in just a second. And so that's what we're looking at here, and I want to really chew on this idea of peace, of sleeping when the wind blows. Not sleeping because the wind is done blowing, but while the wind is blowing, because we can have confidence, we can have peace in a God that has everything in His hands, no matter what your situation is, no matter where it is, and we'll get to that too. So why don't we just give peace a chance? That's all I'm saying. There are a couple chuckles. Okay, so at least some people are older than, yeah. So I want to talk about this idea, like I said, not what the world thinks, not how we perceive peace, but true peace, true biblical peace. And true peace, first of all, is given by God. And that is the most important thing that we need to walk away from here today, is that this isn't an issue of we can work it out, and we'll get that in a second. It's not an issue of once it's over, then I have peace. It's not an issue of what I can do, but it is specifically given by God. And that means you can't do it because you, spoiler, are not God. So true peace is given to us by God, and that's what... And that's what Jesus says there. So you can join me here as we look at the first part of that verse. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And this is the NIV. I love the way they translate that to "my peace." I'm not just giving you peace. I'm giving you my peace. This is the Son of God saying, "I am leaving you with peace. I am giving you my peace." And so he's saying that this is not about you. This is not about your circumstances. This is not about the situation that you find yourself in. This isn't about your pedigree, how good, bad, ugly you are, how good you do in school, how well you do in school. See, some people don't do as good in school as others. How well you do in school. It doesn't have to do with you. How good you are on the team. It's none of those situations. It is about God giving us peace. And that's what we saw in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this fruit. The Holy Spirit produces peace. Eirene, shalom in us. This idea of being complete. And again, that word means a state of untroubled. There's this quote I have. A state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Do you need peace today? Again, like, this is the key. This is God saying, "I'm giving you something. This isn't you working it out. This isn't you figuring it out. This isn't an issue of the situation is over. This is in the midst of the storm. When the winds blow, Jesus says, I'm giving you my peace. I'm giving it to you. It's yours." And that's something, because I don't know about you, and I'm kind of running over myself. We'll be talking about this later. But, like, I want to work it out. I want to make it happen. I want to fix it. I want to do it. I want to make peace. All right, I need peace, so let me go and mix a little bit of happiness and throw in a little bit of joy and add some splash of fun and maybe some pixie dust just because you need that. And mix it up. Oh, I've got peace now. Well, good, because I want that recipe. And God is going, Jesus says, "Look, I'm giving you peace." And His peace is so much better, because my recipe, I'll probably throw up anyway. Probably wouldn't work too well, wouldn't taste too good. And it won't last. But Jesus is offering us His peace, Eirene, shalom, to us. He is giving it to us. And don't miss that the God of the universe wants to give you peace in your circumstance, in your situation, in your life. So true peace is given by God. The second thing, and this is what I was starting to say, is true peace can't be manufactured. You can't make it. You can't make peace happen. I'm sorry. I don't have a mirror, but if I had a mirror, I would say, "Sean, I'm sorry, you can't do it." We try. We try to manufacture peace. We try to make it right. We try to say, "Hey, I'm going to go on vacation. And on vacation, I'll be able to set aside all the worries and burdens of ministry life and have true peace, only to discover there's a major crisis in my family that came out the day before I went on vacation. I didn't have shalom because I worked out my situation. It can't be manufactured. We can't make it happen. We can't fix it. We can't put it that way. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with having fun or taking a vacation or anything like that, but just realize that we can't manufacture true peace. We can't make it happen. Let's read the passage there. In the second part of verse 27, it says, I do not give to you as the world gives. He says, I'm not giving you peace the way the world gives. I'm not giving you peace the way the world understands. I'm not giving you peace the way you understand it. As this thing that can be manufactured, can be made. Well, just ride it out, and then once things are calm, then you'll be okay. And I don't know about you. Things never are okay when you ride it out. You always hope, okay, I'm through that, and everything is good forever. But it's usually all right, through that, what another storm. It's like the hurricane season of 2014. They're just constantly coming. Was it 2014? Oh, come on, weatherman people. Anybody? Help me out. That year that had a lot of hurricanes. You know what I'm saying? As soon as one's over, there's another one. And that's because we can't manufacture, we can't avoid, we can't get out of the situation. We can't run away to find peace. We can't say, oh, well, this is the situation, so I'll just leave. Then I'll have peace. Why? Because that's the way the world sees peace. That's the way the world gives peace. That's the way the world handles and interprets peace. And Jesus says, that's not the way I do it. I'm giving you peace. And this peace is incredible. This peace is amazing. As we'll see, this peace is beyond comprehension. But it's not the way the world gives. And I have this quote here from a guy named Warren Wiersbe. He says this. The world depends on personal ability, but the Christian depends on spiritual... I'm sorry, I missed the spot. Sorry. The world bases its peace, there we go, on its resources, while God's peace depends on relationships with Him. Because how often is that? Oh, once I have enough money, then I'll have peace. Once we get through this season in our life, then I'll have peace. Once the kids... Let's start. Are sleeping through the night, out of diapers, in school. Once the kids are old enough, in middle school, once they're old enough to drive, once they're out of the house, pick it. Because those are, well, once that happens, then I'll have, once that, well, well now once that happens, well, once that, and then you start having more kids. Now I'm just stuck forever. Why? Because it's not a situation of saying, once that happens, once I've got enough, once I've figured out, once I have enough time, then I will have peace. That's the way the world gives peace. It's about resources, but peace, God's peace depends on relationships. He goes on and says, the world depends on personal ability, but the Christian depends on spiritual adequacy in Christ. This idea of I can do it. I can figure it out. Okay, maybe the reason I don't have peace right now is I need to go for another counseling session. Or I need it's because of my levels of toxicity, and I need to adjust that. And I'm not saying, I don't know anything about those things, but if you're trying to find something in your ability and what you've got, oh, I need to sleep more. Oh, I need to be awake more. Oh, I need to work out more. I need to drink more sugar. I need to drink less sugar. I need to stop drinking. Whatever it is, we try to find this, that's going to solve my problem. But it doesn't work because that's not true peace. That's based on our ability rather than what we have in Jesus. He goes on and says, in the world, peace is something you hope for or work for. Hope for. I mean, hope is a good thing, and we've sung about that this morning, or we sang about it. I don't know whether we sung or sang. But, looking forward to that day when we will be with Jesus in eternity. That's hope. But if you're sitting around going, I hope I find peace. I hope this works. I hope this happens. It's not going to happen because you're hoping in the wrong thing, not in Jesus. But to the Christian, peace is God's wonderful gift received by faith. Unsaved people enjoy peace when there is an absence of trouble. And this is exactly what Kirk prayed. Christians enjoy peace in spite of troubles because of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way the world looks at peace. Well, once you get through this spot, oh, it's a season. Oh, this too shall pass. We say things like that. And again, I'm not mocking the Bible. I'm not mocking people trying to be you know, hey, I've got you. You know, I'm not trying to say that, but I'm just saying, what is the source of our peace? Because the world gives peace, and it's all about what we do, how we work it out, how we resolve the situation. And Jesus says, no, I'm not giving you peace like that. This is a whole nother thing. This is a game changer. This is a different kind of peace. It can't be manufactured. So click the next slide there. I'm not sure what I put next here. Okay. It can't be manufactured. And then, yeah. And true peace is worry-free. And this is an interesting concept because I don't know about you. And again, I think I'm human. I think I'm normal. No, I'm not normal. I'm weird. I know that. I just slept up on the stage here. That's just weird. But I worry about worrying. like I worry about worrying. Like, okay, things are good now. I'm sure something's going to happen bad. And, you know, like, oh, you know, oh, why did they say that? Sean, man, you're such a nice guy. What do you mean by that? What's wrong with me? I'm a nice guy. Am I not an exceptional guy? Are you just calling me a guy because I'm not a man? Like, what? Why'd you say Sean? Why'd you call me by my name? Like, you know, it's just all this worry. And Jesus is like, look, true peace, you don't have to worry about worrying. You don't have to worry about it. It's worry-free because you're not trying to do it. You're not trying to manufacture it. You're not trying to make it happen. It is worry-free. And before I get to the passage, I want to show you guys this. This is an age question. Who is that? Okay. If you're under the age, let's say if you're fifth grade and under, who is that? Anybody know? Raise your hand if you know who that person is. No, you don't know. Okay, where is it from? Adults? The Wizard of Oz, right? You know, this is the Cowardly Lion from one, not the first, or multiple movies made, but from The Wizard of Oz. Made in, just so I get this date right, in 1939. How many of you were around when that movie came out? Do you remember that? Okay, Levi was. Good. Scratching his ear. Okay. Don't look at Scott, okay? He's like, were you, Scott? Were you around then? Because he wasn't. Because he's a young guy, too. But in 1939. So let's do a little bit of Cowardly Lion trivia. Look at this picture. Not trivia, but just, who is that? Okay, Fozzie playing the Cowardly Lion. Okay, do you know what that one was from? Anybody? Shout it out. Muppets Wizard of Oz. How many of you in the room have seen the Muppets Wizard of Oz? Okay, wait, put your hands up for a second. Let's go back to this middle one, first of all. How many of you, all of you, adults, kids, how many of you have seen the Wizard of Oz from 39, yeah. All right, so some of you have, okay. How many of you have seen The Muppet Wizard of Oz? All right, a couple of you. It was done in 2005. All right, now, get ready. Generational issue here. And this next one. Who is that? It should be fairly obvious who we're talking about here. Cowardly Lion, right. Does anybody know where it's from? The Wiz, yes. How many of you have seen The Wiz? All right. The Wiz as of 1978. It was starring Michael Jackson and Diana Ross. Michael Jackson was a little boy. And that's not Michael Jackson. And it's where we got ease on down the road. Everybody know that song? Ease on down. It sounds like disco-y. All right, good. Yeah. We can. Anyway, that was from The Wiz in 1978. So we got 1930s. 2005, 78. What about this one? A little bit very modern here. Anybody know who is that?
Cowardly Lion.
Thank you, son, for knowing who that character is. Who is that? Cowardly Lion. Very good. Okay. Like, this is not that hard, people. Okay, does anybody know where this is from? Very modern. What'd you say? It's The New Wiz. Yeah, they did a Wiz Live on NBC or something like that. And this is 2015. And that's David Alan Greer, by the way, for those of you of living color memory back in the day, in living color back in the day. And then finally, now, okay, before we go to this picture, If you recognize this, you're probably weird too, because this was just a twisted part of my childhood. And that is this final character. Who is this on the left, on the very left? Who is it?
Cowardly Lion.
Does anybody know what this is from? Who said it? Return to Oz. That is a freaky, freaky children's movie. It's like, hey, kids, it's made by Disney. It's like a horror movie. A lady literally takes off her head. Like, she has multiple heads that she changes. This is in the 80s. This is the way life was for me, you know, for us growing up. So if we're a little bit weird, those of us in our 30s and 40s, just give us a little break. We had to watch Return to Oz. Okay, and that's actually Dorothy in the middle, and that's not the Tin Man, because the Tin Man was like a side character in this. That's, I think his name was TikTok or something like that. And then they had these weird creatures that had wheels. The wheel, it's like, I'm telling you, it is scary, scary stuff. Like, you thought, I'll get you, my pretty, was scary as nothing. The monkeys have nothing. You know, the flying monkeys have nothing on Return to Oz. So these are all the Cowardly Lion. Now, does anybody remember? I mean, one of the, you know, we used to, a student used to be really good at doing the, come on, put them up. I'll fight you with one hand behind my back. I'll fight you with both hands behind my back. Put them up, come on. You know, or the, remember those boys, Jason White, if you guys remember Jason White, his brother could do an incredible Cowardly Lion. But the Cowardly Lion was, what was his main attribute, if you will? He was cowardly. He was afraid. And this word here in John that Jesus talks about in John 14, he then goes on and says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And the Greek word for afraid means cowardly, timid. You know, as soon as there was any conflict, the cowardly lion fled. Oh, no, I'm sorry, you know. And why didn't you hit me? And yeah, and then that awesome, like, if I were king of the forest, like, I can't, that is just, I wish we could, can we work that out? Come on. Can we change the way our band sings? They add some, then the king of the forest. Anyway. All right, so staying on task. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be cowardly. And we might not consider ourselves cowardly lions, but how often do we worry about worry? How often do we worry about the storms? How often do we lay in bed knowing that everything is tied down and still go, did I get them all? What about that one strap? Did I remember that? What about, I mean, how many of you are like the McAllister family? You're on the plane going, I feel like we forgot something. I feel like we forgot something. It was the, did you close the garage door? That was it. Kevin! You know, like that. But how often is life like that? And we say we're sleeping, and yet we still worry about it. And Jesus says, look, this peace that I'm giving you, this fruit produced by my Spirit, this peace produced by my Holy Spirit, it's not worldly peace. It doesn't work that way. And you don't even have to worry about it. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled. The word troubled means to be terrified. I mean, have you ever been to a spa? And I'm not talking because someone jumps out behind a door at you. But have you ever been in a spot where you're actually terrified? You know, what's going to happen? What's going on? And Jesus says, you don't even have to be terrified. Because his peace is worry-free. And so when it comes to this idea of peace, like, we need to stop trying to do it. Stop trying to work it out. Stop trying to make it happen. And rest in Jesus. And that's the cool thing. This is something, because we can't do it, you don't even have to line up like, okay, what are all the pieces that I need so that I have peace? Jesus says, I'm giving it to you. You just ask. This is my Spirit produces this peace in you. This is, if you are a follower of Jesus, and we'll get to that in a moment, you have the Holy Spirit, and He produces peace in us. We just need to ask. We need to go to God about it. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But this isn't something you need to work out. This isn't something you need to figure out. This isn't something that, well, once I get through this spot, it'll be okay. This isn't something that once this thing happens, once I have enough money, once I get this promotion, once this milestone passes, once that person comes back, once whatever. True peace is Jesus saying, I'm giving it to you. And it's not even waiting till the storms are over. I'm giving it to you in the storm. Because I love you. And I care about you. And I want you to have not just peace, but I want you to have my peace. Jesus didn't worry. And we'll see that in a moment. So, when the fruit of peace is produced, it calms in conflict. When God produces peace in us, if it's true peace, if it's godly peace, it really gives us that irene, that shalom. And again, that's not you being like, I don't care, never mind, I don't want to know, blah, 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 you know, don't talk to me. Like, that's not that. It's going, yeah, I see what is right in front of me. I see what is all around me. And I still have peace. That is what happens when the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of peace in our life. That it calms in conflict. So I need to apologize for this next slide. Actually, a couple of them there. There was a formatting issue, and apparently that happened all month. But I want to talk about sleeping when the wind blows. Hey, you know, how do we really experience that peace? How do we experience that true peace? Like, I mean, I'm hoping, I'm thinking, I'm assuming that you want that. Like, yes, I want it. I want to have peace. Whether the situation is gigantic, life-altering, or whether it's just a little thing. Sometimes those little things feel like they're gigantic and life-altering. We want to have peace. So how do we do that? First of all, it's all about what Jesus offers, and that's the apology there. That says Jesus offers. Jesus offers peace with God. And so this is the key. This is the linchpin to everything we've been talking about. Because if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, if you are not a follower of Jesus, then this peace cannot be produced in you because the Holy Spirit isn't in you to produce the peace. You follow me on that? You can't get something that's coming from God that's in you if God isn't in you, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus. And so the whole point of Jesus coming was to give us peace with God. So here's what Romans 5:1 says. Follow with me here. You ready? We have been made right with God because of our faith. Now we have peace with Him because of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like we have been made right with God. And we talked about this, I think it was the Rescue Series last Christmas. You can listen to that at mc3church.org. We talked about how we needed to be rescued, how everything fell apart with Adam and Eve in the garden. And we were enemies with God because of our inherited nature. And I know Kirk talked about this as he was teaching. Like, we've inherited this disease. We've got it. It's in us. It's sin. And it's caused us to be separated from God. But Jesus came in to fix that, to create peace with this enemy that was God. It says, through faith in Jesus, we have received God's grace. In that grace, we stand. We are full of joy because we expect to share in God's glory. See, Jesus came in the whole point was to show up, to die on the cross. He took our sins. He took our disease so that we could have His perfection to give us peace with God. And we talked about in the Burn series too. If you don't have peace with God, your destiny is hell. But because of what Jesus did, we have hope. If we believe through faith, then we can have hope in Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to have peace. When I was growing up, there were all these cool cheesy Christian T-shirts. And they were awesome because, like, Christians, like, usually were weird and goofy. And now they're starting to come mainstream. And, like, you know, instead of just do it, it'd be like, Jesus did it. Yeah, I'm going to wear that shirt. I had a really cool one that said something that was really cool, but I don't even remember what it was now. I don't know. It was some kind of 80s thing. But there was this one T-shirt that was fairly popular. You would see this saying on it. And it was this: no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. And as cheesy as that saying is, and then there's a really cool one I saw actually that has like, it says, no Jesus, no peace. And then the K and the W were like blurred out so you could read it two ways. It's like, whoa. And but that's so true. Because if you don't have peace, the first question is, do you have Jesus? Because without Jesus, you can't have peace. And if you know Jesus, then you can know peace. The peace that we're talking about here. This peace that is incredible. This peace that is given to us by God through His Holy Spirit. So that's the question you just need to answer. You're like, why don't I ever have peace? Let's not assume anything. Where is your relationship with Jesus? Let's start there before we start blaming God for things that He's offered to us and we just haven't accepted. So, we can sleep with the wind when the wind blows because Jesus offers peace with God. The second thing is that Jesus offers peace beyond understanding. And I love this verse. I mean, this is one of the classic prayer verses that I had to memorize as a kid. If you're not a kid or an adult, which is the same thing as not a kid. if you're, as kids or adults, everyone in the room, this is a great verse to memorize. We talked about that at the end of the No Filter series, the importance of memorizing Scripture, memorizing the Bible. And Jesus offers this, and stay with me here, right? Don't worry about anything. Now, let's just highlight a word there. Anything. Even as I say that, I don't know what you're like, but if I'm sitting there, I would go, well, okay, but what about? No. That's anything. Anything is anything. All of it is anything. So keep your butt in your chair and anything. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And then, what does that mean? Pray about everything. He says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. So He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We talked about this, multiple times. Prayer is just speaking to God. So what does that mean? God, here's what I need. God, I need peace in this situation. God, I need resolution in this relationship. God, I need you to provide for this need. I need you to give me clarity for this direction. I need your comfort in this situation. What do you need? Because he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So there isn't even a spot there where God's like, whoa. Hey, just, you keep that one to yourself, buddy. I don't want to know about that one. Or, you know what? That's just too stupid. I'm so sorry because God doesn't care about that. No. He says, pray about everything. So whether your situation is huge, astronomical, or not, pray about it. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Tell God what you need. And that's the beauty. Like, I'm working through, there's a situation with my family, and I'm working through, I'm working through it with them. And I keep coming back to this idea with my family is this just, you know what? God loves us so much. And God loves us so much that He even knows that our worrying is foolish and that our anxiety is pointless. And even just some things, that we have been dealing with as a body here over the last few weeks. I was worrying. That's what I do. I'm good at it. I was worrying about it. And this is what I was writing in this message to my family. And I was like, on Monday, I worried about this situation. And then God came through. Wow. I knew He said He would. And I know I was praying about it, but I was worrying about it. And then on Tuesday, I got up and spent my morning and started worrying about the situation. And then in another way, God came through again. And then on Wednesday, I got up and spent some time in studying and started worrying about the situation because there was another part to it now. And God came through again. And I said to my family, I'm like, this is so crazy because I don't think God is disappointed. but not in an angry or upset way. But I feel like God is looking at me and going, Sean, I told you I had it. Why did you waste all of that emotion, all of that panic on something that I told you that I had and I showed you that I did, and yet you continue to worry? And I just think, like, that's a loving God that we have. He says, you know, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about it. Tell him what you need. And he already knows. He gets it. He understands. He knows the deep parts of our heart. And he loves us. And then it says, thank him for all that he has done. And he has done so much for us. And that's the thing, too. I mean, and this is part of our sin. This is our humanity. Is that all of a sudden, you know, we get this focus on the one little issue and forget all the other incredible things that are going on around us. All the amazing things that God is doing. And I'm not saying it doesn't make those things hard, but don't forget what God is doing. Don't miss that God is still at work. God, why did you do this? Why do you hate me? Hello, here's 783,000 other things that I've done for you today because I love you. And you're going through this situation because I love you. That's not on the point today. But God's love is even through the hard times. And then he says, look, I've got peace. That's what I want to give you through this. He says, don't worry about it. Pray about it all. Then, stay with me here, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace, will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He says, look, I am offering you peace, and it's not even going to make sense. You're going to have people look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Aren't you angry at what they did to you? Aren't you upset about what's going on? Don't you demand your rights for how they mistreated you? No, because I have peace. Because I know God's got this. And this peace doesn't make any sense. This peace is way beyond when it's God, true peace produced by His Holy Spirit in our lives. It doesn't fit. It doesn't match all the categories of what it's supposed to look like. It's peace that's laying in bed, not because we don't care. Not because we've worked it out or because the situation is over. It's peace because, oh, God already tied down all bales of hay. God already locked the chicken coops. God tied up the horses. He's got the whole thing. And so I can rest in bed, not in ignorance, in foolishness, but in going, no, because I know, one, who's got this. And frankly, he created the storm. He's in control of the storm. I know nothing is impossible. I know he can calm the raging sea. Sounds like a song. We should sing that sometime. Why? Because when we say, God, I need this, when we come to him in prayer, in the midst of whatever circumstance we find ourselves, he is offering us peace that, and I love the way they write this, which exceeds anything we can understand. That's peace. That's what God is offering us. And that's part of the problem with trying to manufacture peace. Because when we try to make peace, sounds weird. When we try to make peace in a manufacturing sense, we try to make it happen. Our peace is so short-sighted. Our peace is so narrow-minded and weak. God's like, stop. That's awful. Come to me. I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your mind. And it's here. It's free. It's ready to be taken. Just come to me. Don't worry about it. Bring it before me, and I will offer you this peace. And then we can sleep when the wind blows, because Jesus offers peace through everything. Peace through everything. Through everything. So here's a passage. We don't use the word peace in it, so you can kind of relax, let your guard down here. But this is in Mark chapter 4. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. They couldn't get away. So they're coming across the Sea of Galilee here, and it says that, "But soon a fierce storm came up." And I met with Scott. Scott and I got together a couple months ago to talk about his trip to Israel. And I said, "Is this true?" And he's like, "Yes, it's crazy. Like, they will just come in, and it's fast, it's instant." And so it said this huge storm, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. So, like, this isn't just a, like, "Oh, no, it's raining. Let's just put on those rubber, you know, yellow things and be the fisherman guy." Isn't that what he does? No, that's the rum guy. Sorry. You know, same deal. pirate, fisherman, arr. Anyway, so this huge storm comes up, and now the boat is starting to go under. Like, this isn't a big boat. It's probably bigger than a canoe, but it's not anything massive. And so it's starting to fill with water, and they don't have, you know, self-pumps self-bailing pumps there. There's nothing in there. Like, this boat is going down. This huge storm is coming up. That's what the word means, this fierce storm. It's not a small storm. This is a storm that happens a lot, but this is a big storm that happens a lot. This is a Category 5. This is an F-11, F-5, It's big. And the boat is going down. Okay, so you just imagine the situation. The boat is going down. Huge storm. I mean, I have been in choppy water on a boat. I've been out on the ocean in choppy water. And I've been in the ocean we were on a cruise ship years ago in choppy water. And it's kind of weird sitting in the dining room going like, "Hey, there's the horizon. There's the ocean. There's the horizon." I mean, it's a little bit intense. And then if you really want to never cruise, go on a cruise ever again, make sure you YouTube search cruises in choppy water. You will never, ever, ever go on a cruise in your lifetime. And I don't know, we didn't really have the best time, so, but not because of the choppy water. So anyway, an awful, awful thing. What is Jesus doing here? He's in the boat. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat, at the back of the boat. Jesus is asleep. There is a huge storm. The boat is going down, and Jesus is asleep. And I love how real the Bible is. With his head on a cushion. Well, thanks. I was wondering where his head was, but it's good to know he was on a cushion. But it's kind of giving this idea of just ease, complete comfort when the boat is sinking. Now remember, this is the same Jesus that has said, "I am offering you my peace." This isn't metaphorical. This is a real storm. The boat is really going down. And Jesus is really asleep with his head on a cushion. So, the disciples do what I do all the time when there's situations, when there's metaphorical storms all around. And I'm sure you do the same thing. On the next verse here. So the disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care that I'm going under? You're asleep. Why are you asleep? I'm going under. Why are you asleep?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." One of the other translations, it's not the same word, it's not irene, but one of the other translations, Jesus says, "Peace, be still." Suddenly, and that's what the word means, suddenly. Not a like, "And after about 35 to 40 minutes, as the storm passed through, suddenly the wind calmed down." No, instantly, suddenly the wind stopped. I lost my spot there. And there was a great calm. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and he asks them, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Then it says the disciples were absolutely terrified. And this word really means that. Like we're talking wet your pants kind of stuff. Like it was a sheer terror. And they said, and I'll explain what this means here, to each other, they said, "Who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him." And here's what was going on in the culture at the time. Like, Jesus was doing miracling. He was miracling people and healing and you know, helping other people and casting out demons and doing a lot of things. And throughout sort of even Jewish history, God gave prophets, God gave special people, supernatural abilities, some of the judges, Samson, I mean, all these things, to do sort of those kind of things. But nowhere do you see the wind and all of creation obeying a person. Because in the culture, in the understanding of what they knew, that was reserved for gods. Like, that's a whole nother level. Like, there's normal people that do ordinary things. There's pretty impressive people that can do healing things. And then there's God. Gods, depending on their culture, depending on where they were from, that do those kind of things. And all of a sudden, this man, Jesus, is doing a God thing. Why? Well, because he's God. But they were shocked because they thought, now this is, Jesus did a lot of cool things and he's helping people. And that guy used to not be able to walk and now he can. And that guy was blind and now he can see. But we're going to drown because we're in a storm. And that's outside of Jesus, you know, sphere of influence. That's not on his resume. And Jesus' resume has all other jobs as assigned. That classic line at the bottom of a job description. All other jobs as assigned. And he handles all of them. And that's what's going on here. These guys were shocked. Not because they were about to not drown. Not even because Jesus totally like slapped them in the face. Like, wow, really? Are you that lack of faithedness-y? But because suddenly this human is now controlling the wind and the waves. So what does that mean for us? That means one, now, this was a real storm, and Jesus was really asleep on a real cushion. But in our situation, Jesus is not asleep. If we are in a metaphorical storm, Jesus is not, he is not out of the situation. He might be, you might think he's asleep. You might think he's outside of control. You might think he doesn't know what's going on. You might feel like, don't you care? But meanwhile, Jesus has the whole thing. And he says, I was asleep on a cushion, and I want to give you that peace too. That doesn't make any sense. I know, it's beyond understanding. That's what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. So we can sleep when the wind blows because Jesus offers peace with God, peace beyond understanding, peace through everything. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. There's a lot of things happening in our MC3 body. Just a lot of stuff. And I talked to a number of the elders as soon as I got back, and I was like, wow, man, we're just kind of getting hammered from all sides here. There's all sorts of stuff happening. And again, like God says, I know. We're talking about peace on Sunday. Why? Because I want to offer that peace to everyone. And there's a bunch of things. There's things changing in our ministries here. There's things changing in the lives of family. There's sickness. There's disease. There's surgeries aplenty. There's jobs uncertainty. There's marital uncertainty. And Jesus is here to offer us this peace. And it covers everything. Even the wind and waves obey him. Your situation is not beyond Jesus' ability to give you peace through it. It is not. Your situation is not outside of his realm of understanding. And you might think he's asleep, but do not be mistaken, because he is not. And this last, I've been reading through a book called David, about the King David, by a guy named Chuck Swindoll. And just last week, I read this, I actually had read this quote, and then got a couple of phone calls, and then a couple of emails, and a couple of messages, and I'm like, okay, good, thank you, God, I needed this. But I think this is such a beautiful quote when you think about all the things that are going on right now in our lives, things that are going on in your lives, things that are happening with our ministries here. I mean, there's changes to MC3 student. There's There's other changes that we're looking at for some other things going on. There's, again, just all this. And this is the quote, and I even sent this to the MC3 student parents this past week and students. He said, this is what Chuck Swindoll writes. He said, our most difficult times, listen to this, are not when things are going hard. See, we like to think that our most difficult times are when things are going hard. And you guys can come on up, and the band's going to come up. Our most difficult times are not when things are going hard. We think they are. But he says, hard times create dependent people. Hard times create dependent people. So when you're going through a hard time, I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a hard time, I find myself going to God way more than when things are going well. I find myself going to Him and saying, God, I'm in trouble here. God, I need your help here. God, I don't know what to do here. Because hard times are creating a dependency on Him. And if our dependency is on Jesus, then we are in a good spot. He then goes on and says, you don't get proud when you're dependent on God. And we spent a whole series called Less of Me about the dangers of pride and why humility is so important. And when things are going well, think about it. I mean, when things are going well, we don't go to God. And we're like, yeah, things are good. I don't have a real connection with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no, things are not good. You don't have a real connection with me. But when we go through hard times, when the winds blow, we find ourselves more and more and more dependent on Jesus. And so I'm not saying, be excited when you suffer. I mean, I guess the Bible does say that. Paul does. God's doing something in you. But we can go through these hard times and have peace. We can go through difficult situations and know that God's in control. Because when the fruit of peace is produced, it calms in conflict. And so, I mean, I know a lot of what's going on. I know a lot of things happening here. I'm sure there's more in your heart, and I don't need to know. I just feel like this is something that we need to realize, that God is offering us, Jesus is offering us, Holy Spirit-produced peace that passes understanding, that doesn't get us, make the storms disappear, but changes our situation in the storm. It allows us to rely on Him and for Him to show up in an amazing way, giving us peace that is beyond understanding, that is the peace that Jesus has for us. So we're going to close by singing this song, Cast My Cares. And if this is a time where you're just going to sing, we'll turn off the house lights. And you're just going to sing, that's great. Worship God. If there's something you need to do in your heart, if you need to come to God and pray, beg Him for your lack of dependence on Him, do it. If you need to ask Him for peace, ask Him. If you need to just change something in your life, do it. But let this be a chance for you to not walk out of here going, man, I wish I had that. But walking out of here grabbing it and taking that peace that Jesus offered us that calms in the midst of conflict. Why don't you guys stand up and sing? Jesus, that is what we want to do. Cast our cares of this world on you. We're trading. God, we want to trade the troubles for the peace that you have to offer. And I thank you that you know what we're in. You know the storms. And it might seem like you're asleep on a cushion, but you're not. You are active and you are in control. And I pray that you would give us peace in that. Give us your peace. In that, give us peace that is produced by the Holy Spirit so that we can sleep while the wind blows. Thank you that we are not alone, that you are with us through the storms. And may we find ultimately our peace in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.